Hello again, everyone. I wanted to share just a few words, a shorter message here about Hoshana Rabbah. It's one idea that struck me. So Hoshana Rabbah, obviously, in the Psukim and such, we don't have anything. Okay? No indication that there's anything special about this day. But part of our Torah Shabbat paper, our oral tradition, mostly through the Kabbalah, is that even though the Hashem judged us on Rosh Hashanah, and for sure seemingly sealed it off and finished by Yom Kippur, which is what we see in the Gemaras, so apparently not quite done. Because the new legislation doesn't really get implemented until today, until Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right? The notes go out, the letters go out, they're sent out, right? The malachim and the things, whatever it is that goes on in Shemayim, who knows? But whatever the decisions were, the gzeiras and the new dinim that are going to be for this year, however everything's going to run, both globally and individually for each of us, it get kicked in on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, as far as I understood. Again, I don't know that. I'm not a Kabbalist. Okay, but this is the idea of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and it seems like everyone's in agreement as to the truth of this. Now, oddly, about 2 years ago on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, so this was Tavshanayin Tess, Hoshana Rabbah. So I went off to Shachris, and one of my kids showed up at Shul, told me to come home, that mommy's crying and she's in pain. And I came home, and sure enough. And that led to a whole episode of going to the hospital and the emergency room, and wife spent Yom Tov in the emergency room. I came back and they did blood tests and extra blood tests, and they found this whole infection. It was a very dangerous thing that, untreated, it was potentially fatal. And as in the course of the recovery from that, was really when we discovered, unfortunately, my wife had cancer. But fortunately, due to the whole incident from beforehand, it was caught very early. So as horrendous an experience it was, and it was, I've never seen a human being in more pain than that, including birth. It was actually a bracha that it helped us discover the cancer early enough that it could be treated. So, that was a year. That was a real bit of a rough year. It's an ongoing process, but it for sure was rough, and it kicked in on Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, so I'm willing to accept. I'm willing to accept. Not the only thing I've seen Hoshana Rabbah, by the way, but I'm willing to accept the tradition we're getting, that Hoshana Rabbah things kick in. Okay, and they can kick in very suddenly. So it's a serious day. And people take very seriously. People wearing kittels, people staying up all night learning Torah. There's a lot of tshuva that's going to go on. Hoshanos are not a joke at all. Obviously, there's a minhag nevi'im of whacking the floor with the Hoshanos. We do weird stuff. And it all seems to have to do with kind of tempering these gzeiros that are going out. Trying to sweeten the din is the language that they use. So, okay. So obviously we're not going to approach it from a mystical sense, because I'm not really familiar enough with that stuff. But if you look in the Michta Meon, Rav Dessler says an interesting thing. He says, so this is sort of like another din this day. So the question, what's the new din on for, right? So Rav Dessler says, and it takes into account everything that went on Sukkos. Okay, it takes into account Sukkos. So that's interesting. Because think about it, since Yom Kippur, in other words, why not? Remember, the whole thing is bizarre. Okay, the whole existence of a Yom HaDin, not to review everything that we've done, but the whole existence of a Yom HaDin is bizarre. The whole idea of having a gap between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is bizarre. And I have another one, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right? It's drawing it out even further. So we spoke about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we brought the Midrash Shochar Tov of Rabbi Acha, who said that really the forgiveness, Hashem's forgiveness was already there on Rosh Hashanah, but he held it off to Yom Kippur to give it so that we would freak out and do tshuva, right? That was the Midrash, and for sure the idea. First of all, it works, but for sure the idea is there that this whole setup of having Yom HaDin and then having the Chasima kind of weighing on us and having Yom Kippur there, you know, hovering over us, drives us to do tshuva and to get better. And it gives us a chance to turn things around, right? Stretches it out, another chance and another chance and another chance, which is always how Hashem has dealt with us. So what's this chance? You know, it's there we had a special 10-day period where Dirsh Hashem B'Matzo Hashem was closer, more available to us, more accessible through our tefillahs and these things, right? And we don't have any indication. Okay, I'm sure if you get into the sources, you have indications it's still true now in Sukkos. But in the Pashtus, that was a Seris. The Gemara say that was a Seris Me'tshuva. Okay, that's not... there's no question this is a special time, post Yom Kippur and Sukkos and Zeth. No, but... there's no indication it has that kind of power of, you know, a personal ability to rip up gzeiras and a special tefillah power and these things. The stuff they said about Seris Me'tshuva, they don't say about now, okay? So why would I want to delay it again? Delay the end of the process again to Lashon Rabba. So first of all, let's remember that Hashem's Mida Tova and his Mida Natso Tova work differently, okay? When Hashem makes a gzera that's good, he doesn't ever go back on it. Okay, that's one of the ways that we can tell if a Navi is false, is if he makes a positive prophecy and it doesn't come true. Okay, that's one of the ways. How do you know if you have a false prophet when he says it doesn't come true? But it has to be said something positive that didn't come true. If he said something negative is going to happen, it didn't come true. So that's fine. That Hashem does all the time. You know, the idea that there could be a negative gzera, some kind of decree for something negative, for Aleinu, that's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean he's a false prophet. It means people did tshuva, or Hashem had rachim, whatever it is. There's a lot of ways for those things not to take place. So when we're talking about the ptakim going out right now, so if a person received a positive gzera this year, it's not going to get changed. Okay, nothing's getting ripped up. Okay, that Hashem doesn't do. The opportunity here is for someone, hypothetically, whose din was not so good, there's another opportunity to be given here for something. Right? The din's going to be reviewed again before it gets sent out. One last time before he sends out the letters, he's going to look at it again. And what's going to be the difference between when he looked at it 10 days ago and he's looking at it now? Right? What changed? So this I thought was a very, what to me was a powerful idea. As when we relate to our life here in this world, and the whole system of Torah mitzvahs that we have, so it's easy, I think, to slip into a relating to it in a very mechanical sort of way. Meaning, Hashem, in His unfathomable kindness, created us, and He gave us a world, and He gave us choice. Right? In that choice, we have mitzvahs, we have averus, we have a Gan Eden, we have a Gehenim. Right? We have choices. And now it's up to us, and the gift was that it's up to us to make the right choices and then be able to reap the rewards of those choices that we made. That's for sure all true, but not the full picture. That's because when in the Chumash, where Hashem says, actually explicitly, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that Hashem put before us the good life and the bad, it's death. There's then an extra two words where it says, Bacharta b'chaim, and you guys should choose life. Okay, and if you look at Rashi, so Rashi gives the mashal of the father and the son, and the father has different fields, and he's telling the son which one to take as his inheritance, and he takes the kid's hand and he puts it on the one that he should take. This one, this is the good. So that kind of image, and the pasuk, just the pasuk by itself, means that we're not in a purely neutral mechanical system. Okay, it's true that we have choice, and it's true that there's a system, but God is not indifferent as to the results of this system. Meaning, the idea of the system was that we were going to choose life. Okay, this is a bigger thought than we're going to have right now. But the Bacharta B'chaim is not, first of all, it's not just here's a system, you know, play it as you will, swim at your own risk. It's here's a system and I want you to choose life, but also the whole reason why I gave you the system was in order to give you the opportunity to choose life, okay? Your ability to choose otherwise is like a side effect of the gift that I'm giving you. Okay. But what Hashem's telling us from his perspective is the way that the Rashba brought from the Gemara in Brachos, it talks about Hashem davening, that Hashem's davening for our success. That he can't succeed for us because that's not a relationship and that's not a success. But he set it up in such a way that to facilitate our winning of this thing, and he's in the background davening that we succeed. Okay, it's a Rashba that's for sure worth taking a look at. So we're looking now at like another stage of din, right? And Hashem's going to look back, and the court system, divine court system, is going to take another look at us. Oh, but they looked at us Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. And they looked at us again Yom Kippur. And they sealed the thing. Give one more look, says Hashem. Let's just take one before we send it out. Before we send it out. I know. We wrote it, and we gave him another chance, and then we sealed it. I know. Let's just take one more look at him and see if anything's changed. Let's see if anything's different. So what are they going to see? So if thus they're saying, they'll see Sukkos. And why would Sukkos make such a difference? So there's a deep point here of following through our kind of existential approach that we've had to Sukkos that I'm actually not going to do. Believe it or not, I'm going to stick to the simpler approach for this one. We have to leave something for next year. But you could think it through. It makes sense. The simpler approach is that Sukkos is like rigged, mitzvah-wise. Okay? For sure, let's go with the Shita of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others. The Sukkah is a mitzvah you can do with your whole body. It's one of the only ones that's like that. While you're awake, while you're sleeping, while you're eating, every moment of every day, you in theory could be doing it 24 hours a day, every day, with your whole body, and you have the Arba Minim. There's the seven mitzvahs of the Chag. It is incredible. Okay? There isn't anything else other than Limud HaTorah that could possibly accrue as much schus as the Sukkah. Okay? There isn't anything else that's going to do that to you. Again, barring Limud HaTorah, where you have the Chavetz Chaim working out the numbers of how many mitzvahs you're accruing in a minute of Limud HaTorah. Barring Limud HaTorah, and this one even is also different in a certain way, that physically, that your whole physical body, all the time, doing mitzvahs, just by being there, while you're sleeping, while you're awake, during lunch, you're playing guitar, your music, you're drinking wine, you're hanging out with friends, mitzvah, 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 mitzvah all the time. So now let's go back to the scene in Shemaim, so to speak. Where Hashem says, you know, guys, wait, you guys, wait. Let's take one more look at it before you send it out. Okay? And it's not a God who's hoping maybe we turned around. Right? It's like, let's take a look, maybe something happened. Maybe the guy got his act together finally. God's chuckling, sort of, to himself. It's like, let's take one more look at it, knowing that he rigged the deck. You're going to take one more look at it. What are you going to see? This guy's got the last 7 days of 24-hour mitzvahs with his whole body. It's like, what? You know what I mean? Like the meter on everyone just shot way to the right. Anyone who's been keeping mitzvah sukkah and lulav and these things, right? So the numbers just went nuts. If you're following like the little the bar graph or whatever, this one's like off the top. They had to like tape another piece of paper on top of this piece of paper to follow the line. Right, it totally out of control. And in this country, the electric company, maybe it's everywhere, I don't know, but the electric company here doesn't always measure your meter. Sometimes they just estimate based on how much other people are using in your neighborhood, how much you normally use year to year. And then the next time they read the meter, they sort of adjust it. Right? So here they are on Shemayim. They're like, okay, we basically know where he's going to be holding. We know his averages. There's no point in looking at his situation again. Hashem's like, no, take a look. Read the meter. Read the meter. And the meter's going to be off the charts. Literally. Hashem rigged it in such a way. And then says, let's have one more look before we send these things out. And when you look at the system that he rigged in our favor, all of us look much better right now than we did even coming out of Yom Kippur. Okay? Again, if through Yom Kippur the tshuva was good and the gzeiros were good, nothing's going to change. Okay? If chas v'shalom, things didn't go so good, the sukkah, Hashem's not taking anything away, he doesn't do that. But for those of us that still needed some help, those of us that maybe didn't come through so clean after Yom Kippur, that maybe we're still a little up in the air, that maybe, unfortunately, it shouldn't be, but maybe there are gzeiros that we won't be so happy with. So Hashem has rigged this system where he says, let's wait, take one more look. And he's built this whole system so that when that look gets taken here at the end, the last day of the sukkah, when that look gets taken, we're going to look fantastic. We're going to look fantastic. And so the joy that's here, and the joy we're going to move into Shmini Atzeres, which I hope we get a chance to talk about tomorrow. But the simcha and the joy is not, again, like we spoke about in the Pa Comes Home talk, the joy of this whole thing, looking at this, is not that now we're going to make it through. The joy is not that, oh, even if Yom Kippur wasn't great, look, Hashem rigged the system for us, now we'll be successful. Right? Look, he sukkahed us up. He sukkahed us up. It was a cheat. It was like, it's like cheating. God's like cheating almost. Like this ridiculously easy mitzvah that's fun and you can do while you're sleeping and it's full body all the time. It's crazy, right? It's almost like cheating in our favor. So the joy that we have is not that the din's going to come out good. And not that we sweetened the din and mesikus hadin and we, not that I'm against. I love having a good year, right? I love when evil decrees are ripped up. For sure, nowadays, we should have them all ripped up. Please God. But that's not the joy. That's not what we're happy about. That's not the deep, the simcha. V'yismichu v'cha yisrael mekadosh eshemecha. Our joy is in Hashem. That's what's coming Shmini Atzeres. Our joy is that we have a God who cheated for us. That's God. That the God that we have is not just our creator, not just the one who set up a system for us to succeed, and not even the one who's rooting for us in the background, that's also amazing. But now look what he did. He delayed the din and built a sukkah machine and slipped it in for us so that we can pad the numbers and end up looking amazing right now. This is the best we're going to look right now. If you'd ever have a day to look at us, it's now. After 7 days of being in the sukkah, I don't know what we look in Shammai, but I promise you it's like amazing compared to how we look the rest of the year. He rigged the whole thing for us. I have a God who rigged the system for me, who's pulling cheats to say I should succeed. That's our Father. That's our King. Right? That sense that we're loved by our source, by Creator, the Creator of the universe, building systems and rigging them so that we can succeed because He loves us. That's the joy now. That's the simcha that we have now. It's Man Simcha Seinu. Okay? This, by the way, as an aside, this could be another answer for the question of why Sukkot is now. Because we have the tour's idea that it's, seasonally we want to make sure you know it's a mitzvah. And then we have the girl's idea, this one, the Inner Covet, came back as a remembrance of the forgiveness. And now we have another reason, not as a steer to the other ones. That Hashem put Sukkot here to help us, to rig the machine. He put it in now as a cheat, and He delayed the din till we've had 7 days of Sukkah to look at, to clean ourselves up, to upgrade, to the turbo, whatever muscle you want to use. So that now He gets the malachim to wait and says, let's take one more look at them, and we're all shiny. And we're all shiny and overflowing with good. It's like, and who knows how many of those papers are going to get ripped up because of it. And all of us will then go into Shmini Atzeres with a deep, deep love for the God that made us and the God that loves us beyond our imagining. All right, good yontif, everybody.